Science observes all of these things, notes them, names them, categorizes them, asks how and why and what. But somehow or other, science doesn't ever seem to get around to asking who.
In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about who is in charge. In our last few talks, we've discussed why am I in this, situations that you and I find ourselves in from time to time, which we can't figure out how we got into and we don't know how to get out of. We talked about whether or not we deserve this. Somehow or other, we don't seem to ask that question, did I deserve this, when we get blessings and good things. Not often do we think of that. It's when something happens that we don't like, and then we say, what have I done to deserve this? Well, let's think today about who is in charge. I don't know anything more fortifying, more calming, more reassuring to me than to know that somebody is in charge of my life. One of the primary differences, one of the differences which should be obvious in everything that we do between us and those who do not call themselves Christians. I say one of the primary differences should be that we belong to somebody else and we know it. Somebody else is Lord of our lives. He's in charge. We've turned over the rights to him. And I'd like to take us back again to the book of Job, a wonderful book, a very dramatic book, and perhaps the oldest book in the Bible. And finally, in the 38th chapter, after 37 chapters of Job and his friends talking, we have God speaking. And God answers Job out of the tempest. And his first answer is a question. Who is this whose ignorant words cloud my design in darkness? Job didn't know what God's design was in allowing these things to happen to him. God says, brace yourself and stand up like a man. I will ask questions, and you shall answer. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? And then he goes on for a number of verses, speaking as an architect. The one in charge of the universe is the one who designed the universe. There are many expressions of measurement, architecture, design, dimensions, boundaries. And then he gets into mysteries and pathways and ancestry and some of the more abstract things. I love these passages. It's wonderful poetry and it's great drama. In verse 13, he says, "Have you taught it to grasp the fringes of the earth and shake the dog star from its place?" We often in the wintertime see the dog star Sirius over the ocean in front of our house. I love looking at the constellations. "Have you taught it to bring up the horizon in relief as clay under a seal until all things stand out like the folds of a cloak when the light of the dog star is dimmed and the stars of the navigator's line go out one by one? Have you descended to the springs of the sea or walked in the unfathomable deep?" Most of us remember a year or so ago when they discovered the whereabouts of the Titanic, and to our amazement, they were able to get a little robot to go down there and to descend into the unfathomable deep where no man could go and actually explore every foot of that shipwreck. "Have you ever seen the doorkeepers of the place of darkness? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Have you comprehended the vast expanse of the world? Come, tell me all this if you know. which is the way to the home of light, and where does darkness dwell? He goes on to speak of Orion's belt, of the signs of the zodiac. Did you know that the signs of the zodiac are mentioned in Scripture? Laws of nature, cisterns of heaven. When we have tremendous floods, you wonder where those cisterns of heaven have stored up all that water. This is the God who is in charge. Expressions of design, architecture, generation, origin, mystery, pathways, ancestry, control, authority, wisdom. Science observes all of these things, notes them, names them, categorizes them, asks how and why and what. But somehow or other, science doesn't ever seem to get around to asking who. In verse 1 of chapter 39 of Job, do you know when the mountain goats are born? Do you attend the wild doe when she is in labor? Who has let the wild ass of Syria range at will, and given the wild ass of Arabia its freedom? The wings of the ostrich are stunted. Her pinions and plumage are so scanty that she abandons her eggs to the ground, letting them be kept warm by the sand. She forgets that a foot may crush them or a wild beast trample on them. She treats her chicks heartlessly, as if they were not hers, not caring if her labor is wasted. For God has denied her wisdom and left her without sense, while like a cock she struts over the uplands, scorning both horse and rider. And then that makes God, if I can use a term like making God do anything, that makes God think about the horse. And he asks Job the question, did you give the horse his strength? Did you clothe his neck with a mane? And I loved particularly the chapter about the sea monster. We've got sea monsters, which sound very much like dragons to me, or maybe the Loch Ness monster. We don't really know exactly what he's referring to when he speaks of behemoth and leviathan. But because I live on the sea, I love that passage, and I think of the biggest creatures that live in the sea, the whales. And from the little town of Gloucester, near where my husband Lars and I live, boats go out whale watching. And that has been one of the most exciting experiences of my life. The first time I went out, I saw what the marine biologist on board explained to us was called a bubble net. And she explained it before we actually saw it. She had no idea whether we would see it or not, but she said, a bubble net will be a large disc in the sea where it looks rather oily and smooth and glassy. She said, if you see that happen, then keep your eye on that spot. It will be a very large disc, maybe 20 or 30 feet in diameter. And in the middle of it are tiny bubbles coming up, like bubbles in ginger ale. Watch it, because within a few seconds, the whale himself is going to come charging out through that disc. We're not sure exactly what is happening, but the whale goes down, blows bubbles in a certain way, which causes this disc on the surface of the water. We guess that the bubbles confuse the small animals which form the plankton that are the whale's food. And so they get caught, as it were, in a net. And the whale then comes up and gulps down this whole quantity. Well, you can be sure that when we saw that glassy disc on the surface of the ocean, we glued our eyes to the spot, and we were not disappointed. Suddenly, bursting through that bubble, came the tremendous head of a humpback whale with mouth wide open. It was almost close enough for us to touch the lower jaw, right beside the ship. Then on another occasion, I saw what was even more exciting. On my third trip out whale watching, I was treated to the sight of a breach. A breach is when the entire animal jumps clear of the water. And here was a 50,000-pound whale leaping clear of the water, spinning and crashing down on its back with the most tremendous splash imaginable. This was called not just a breach, but a triple breach, and this whale did not just a triple breach, but a triple spinning breach. Three times He burst from the water, spinning, and three times crashed on his back. It was as if he recognized how much we were enjoying it the first time, because there were three boats watching. The boats blew their horns, the people screamed and yelled and howled and jumped up and down, and he did it again. And he got more applause, and he did it again. Who's in charge? Who designed? Who originated? Who thought up the mastery, the majesty of that whale? And when I read Time magazine's cover story on the filthy seas, my heart sank to think that maybe those whales are doomed. Man has all kinds of ways of messing up divine arrangements. Be still, God says, and know that I am God. None of your sorrows have escaped my notice. None of Job's boils were overlooked by God. Your situation today, God is in charge of. He says, I'm here. It wasn't a surprise to me.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.